Yes, sirree. Yes, sirree. There's only one way to start the show this week. There's only one way to start the show this week.
It is a first down for Ottawa. The football at the 24 of Saskatchewan. Clements coming back to throw again. Looking. Gets all kinds of protection. Throws into the end zone for Gabriel. Touchdown!
In 1898, the Ottawa Football Club adopted the red and black of the Canadians that fought with Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders in the Spanish-American War. They also adopted the name. Et c'est à partir de ces débuts modestes que le Rouge et Noir a été associé à la ville d'Ottawa. The Carleton Ravens, Ottawa Fury FC, Ottawa 67s, and the Ottawa Senators have all adopted the colors and built their own history and traditions. Mais le rouge et noir se retrouve d'abord sur les chandails des équipes d'Ottawa dans la LCF. Des couleurs de Russ Jackson et de Tony Gabriel. To all who have worn the red and black. À tous ceux qui ont porté le rouge et noir, who have battled on the gridiron on behalf of our great city. Et qui se sont battus sur le terrain au nom de notre belle ville. We honor your tradition. Nous préservons votre tradition as we begin to forge our own. Et nous commençons à forger la nôtre. Like the blades that cut timber in the upper Ottawa Valley and the men who rode them down the Ottawa River past the locks of Bytown. We are balanced, dangerous, unstoppable. Nous sommes the Rouge et Noir d'Ottawa. We are the Ottawa Red Blacks.
The Ottawa Red Blacks. It's finally been announced. We told you here about, oh my goodness, what, about 4 or 5 months ago? It was not a well-kept secret, to say the least. So there you are. There's a history for the Red Blacks. I keep forgetting to look, and I ask myself the question, is there a space between red and black, or is it one word? Is it one word, or is it two words? Only time will tell. Now, In a few short days, the season is going to start in earnest. Yes, Wednesday exhibition season begins. And the Argos will be playing Winnipeg. And they'll be playing in Winnipeg in the new stadium. Which, if you're a radio broadcaster, you're going to spend a lot of time bumping your head against the ceiling. Because you can't see the whole field. They build a brand new stadium and make it so the people that come in and talk about your stadium aren't going to like it right away. Well, they'll probably love it, but, you know, it's a beautiful stadium for the fans. That's the important thing. It is a wonderful facility, and the Argos will be one of the first teams to be playing in there when it begins to matter. And matter it will on Wednesday. Now, I've been to most of the practice. Today's practice was rained out. It's been very rainy over the past couple of weeks. It's been a challenge for the Argonauts and their management to put their team somewhere to practice because at UTM, University of Toronto, here in Mississauga, the field doesn't like being too wet. And by virtue of that, they've been forced to play at a couple of high schools in Oakville. And, makes it kind of difficult when your practice regimen is kind of choppy. Now, I had a chance to go watch the Double Blue game. And it was interesting. And they had actually quite a few people there to watch the game. They came out. Lots of children, lots of animals, too. Lots of dogs were there, too. Especially Carlos from the Argos. He had his puppy there with him. Cute little putt. Anyway, and I mean the dog. Really an interesting day to be there. There were some pretty good people there. Where'd it go? Where'd my bobblehead go? There's my bobblehead. Number 9 was there. Damon Allen was there. God, he looks good. He looks like he'd still play today. You know that? Looks wonderful. He coaches high school football in Oakville. I'm telling you, you could drop anything from the sky, and if it lands somewhere in Oakville or Burlington, it'll probably hit an ex-CFL player. Boy, our community's loaded with CFL players. Granny Liggins is out here. It's actually a really nice feeling, you know, when you start to really like the CFL and you find out you live in the neighborhood that is the CFL. So, yeah, Damon Allen was here. And for those of you that have been or were at games last year, the bobblehead day was actually Damon Allen's bobblehead was given away. I have one. I'm now rocking his head. Do you like the show? Hey, sideways, not up and down. Sideways. Okay, up and down. He does like the show. So, why don't we hop to our first interview today. And, Jason, what's the big idea? Hang on. Breaking news. What's the idea? What is the idea? Jason Sperling is on Facebook. He says he's stoked about a new idea. I wonder if he wants me to give it away. Well, wait, look, he's looking at my question. Maybe the answer will come out soon. Jason Sperling, otherwise known as Rouge Radio. And this is, of course, Candid Frank Live streamed. Oh, he texted it to me and emailed it to me. I had a nap. Okay, so I didn't quite get to see it because I was thinking about the Red Blacks. Put me right to sleep. Just kidding. Okay, now, oh my goodness, what did I do with it? Oh no. Oh, okay. Yeah, I got that message. Yeah, I got it. You want to use my show on your podcast. I got that. I read that. Cool. Okay, there we go. Just letting him know that I think it was a cool idea. So, now, if you'd like to be on the air and talk about this upcoming CFL season, you can either call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. And if that might be too much to ask, in other words, long distance call, you can always Facebook me and I'll call you. How's that? All right. So Facebook me at, all you have to do is Candid Frank and it'll turn up. It'll be there before you know it. Candid Frank Live. My last name's in there. It's not important. It's one of those names that it's better you don't try to say it. My feelings would be less hurt. But then again, you know, now, in honor of it being, of course, this is my new favorite commercial.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical.
The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go. Woo! Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
Now, in many ways, being a fan of the CFL, it's something that defies description. So to get a better understanding of why I like the CFL, I spoke to the Grey Cup ring holder himself and broadcaster for the CFL, Mike Hogan. This is how that interview went. You ever wonder what it would be like to follow your team? It doesn't matter what sport it is, any sport, and be paid to do so. And then follow your team as they win a championship as well. And then after they win a championship, they give you a ring just like the players. Do you wonder what that might feel like? I do. Well, Here's a guy who doesn't have to wonder. He knows exactly how it feels. TSN's Mike Hogan, the play-by-play man of the Toronto Argonauts, who has been a fan since 71.
First Argo game I can remember vividly watching is the 71 Grey Cup. So I've been an Argo fan since I was 8. So a while.
Absolutely. So what, you're like 27 now,
yes,
right?
27
okay,
now.
Okay, there you go.
Dog years.
So you've had the good fortune of covering the Argos over the years, and was last year your first Grey Cup experience for them?
With the Argos, yeah. I've called the team for 8 years. This is number 9, and I've done some work on 3 previous Grey Cups, but this is the first time the two have been together. So this was, yeah, I was not covering the team as their play-by-play guy in 04, nor 96, nor 97. So this last year was a lot of fun.
You know, a lot of people don't understand what it's like to be a broadcaster. Your first intuition is to be non-biased.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult, isn't it, to not, basically develop a form of an attachment with the team.
Well, I don't mind saying I'm biased completely. But I try to present the broadcast in, while a biased from the ear of the Argo fan, I'm telling the story from the Argo perspective. If the Argos aren't playing well, I'll say it. If they are playing well, I'll say it. It's a different broadcast than, say, I was doing what Chris Cuthbert or Rod Black do, where if I was calling that game, there would certainly be a more impartiality. But sure, we're doing the broadcast where 99% of the people listening are Argo fans. So I'm telling the story to them, for them, through their eyes, since they're not able to be there, or their ears if they're just at the game or listening on or watching on television or listening on the radio.
That's exactly what I understand, because I have the same feeling.
Yeah.
When I do my program, I admit to even the drafted players that I interviewed some 25, 28 drafted players, and they haven't been interviewed much, so I interviewed them. And then I end it by saying, listen, I'm rooting for you when you're on the field,
sure,
but you know you're going to lose. You'll be the best player, but you're going to lose against the Argos. So I totally understand the dynamic that you're talking about. And on the on Cuthbert and Company, they're a national broadcast.
Absolutely.
So they have to maintain their at least their obvious neutrality.
Sure. And again, I think when Sandy and I do a broadcast, he's got a vested interest. He played for the team. We want to see them do well. It's better for our broadcast if they're winning. We've had more losing years than winning years doing the broadcasts. And we'd like to see them win for a lot of different reasons. We get to know these guys. We're down here on a regular basis. You forge some personal relationships with the players, and I try to keep an arm's length so I don't become too close. But at the same time, I've known Jeff Johnson since he was at York, so it's very difficult, not to see, or get that lump in your throat when you see him win. When you see him pull off at this age, see him coming into camp, and last year a couple of big runs or big catches, those mean a little bit more.
It's not hard to admire the players. I've spent about a year now getting to know the players. CFL players are a lot different than a lot of other leagues.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, humility is a major factor in the way they respond to you. Do you have any stories about how they've displayed that humility in your mind?
I just think the way that they're welcoming, and maybe that's because I've been around for so long, that it's easier for the rookies to come up and maybe talk to me because they'll see the veterans hanging out. There are other sports where guys are prima donnas. I could probably count on one hand the guys who have been prima donnas in this league. And maybe for the Americans, they have been humbled because they've wanted to play in the National Football League. That dream has died. They're still playing football. They're getting paid to play football. They're playing football at probably a higher level than a lot of them expected when they came to Canada. And sure, I think there's got to be a little bit of a kick in the teeth for an athlete who has dreamed of one thing, and then all of a sudden it changes course. And for the Canadians who didn't think they'd ever play in the National Football League, they're living the dream. So why not have fun with it?
All of them have told me they love, if they go through tunnels, go through the tunnel at night and the light and all the lights,
yeah,
and the fans. It's a big thrill. And I can speak to what you said because this is my first year covering them.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no, there is no group of veterans around me to help make me feel like they care about me being around. They do it on their own. It's not something that they have to do. They do it because they love the game. It must be so nice to be that close to these guys. In a way, I envy your position because you get to be in with these guys. They're community conscious as well. You've witnessed them doing community conscious stuff. they spend a lot of time in the community. You know, guys like Joe Appel, and you know, they do a lot of good work. Tell us some of the stuff that they've done, because I'd like the people to know the kind of good stuff that they're doing out there.
I don't think that there's any program that has been implemented by a sports team in this market that comes even close to the anti-bullying program that this the Huddle Up program is. Unbelievable. Seeing the guys, and there have been so many guys who have gone through situations where they've been bullied or have grown up in parts of, especially the United States, where bullying doesn't just involve physical stuff. I mean, there are guns, there are knives, there are a lot of things that happen. And when those players specifically come up and talk to kids, and you see the reaction of the kids and the teachers and the parents and anybody else who's in there, it's an eye-opening experience. And, you know, if they touch one kid from their speech for each appearance that they've done, this city is a remarkably better place because of the amount of days that they do in schools, whether it's that or sort of the fitness programs that they do as well. It's remarkable. And as much as the kids get out of it, the players still, to a man, get so much out of that program. We're lucky to have them in this community doing what they're doing.
We are. Okay, enough about the social aspects of the team. The team itself, you got your Grey Cup ring the other day.
Yeah.
That must have been a big thrill.
It was a very pleasant surprise, put it that way. I found out about a month ago that it was going to happen, and they asked me to come in to get a sizing. And I know it's a tradition for the play-by-play team to get a ring, but until you actually put it on your finger, you still kind of think it's a bit of a dream. But hey, for a guy who grew up in Kingston cheering for the Argos over 40 years ago, I can't, and it was too slow to play the game. It's the only way I'll get close to a championship ring, so I'm very, very grateful to the organization.
Well, the vicarious lifestyle that you've been living is an enviable one. So.
It is. It's fun. It keeps you young, right? I mean, I just hit 5-0 as well on the calendar, and I don't feel it. And when you come out and you're hanging around with guys who are in their mid-20s and early 30s, And you start kibitzing with them a little bit. It's a lot of fun. It keeps you a little younger.
Okay, so the team now, training camp, they're here. There are some twists that people may not be aware of. The CIS and the CFL have their quarterback program.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about that program and how great an idea it is, because I think it's wonderful.
Every CFL team has to have at least one CIS quarterback in there taking reps and learning and going into the film study and basically getting a Pro Football 101. And I talked to Greg Gary, the head coach at University of Toronto last year, about what this program did for Richard Quintenton, who was the quarterback at U of T, who came through this program with the Argos a year ago. And he said, I can't thank the CFL enough. His football IQ just went off the charts this year compared to where it was a year ago. And now we're seeing Will Finch, who is the next one. He is I've been watching him since he was 9. And to see the leaps and bounds that he has made, he is in his second pro camp, and he's not in his 20s yet. It's amazing. He's 19. He's going to be the starter at Western this year, and his football IQ is already off the charts. He's got an amazing arm, and you know, with unfortunately Kyle Quinlan saying he's not going to try professional football going back to Mac as a coach, I think now the spotlight's going to be on Will, and he's still got 4 more years potentially in the CIS. He could be the next legitimate shot for a CIS kid to come out and play in the Canadian Football League.
He went to the Hamilton camp last year as a high school kid.
Yeah, right out of Burlington Nelson, and
exactly.
He's the real deal. He's something else, and Western's got a good one for the next few years.
They sure do. So now in training camp, we got all the guys here, and today we got, well, you know what, I'll let you break the news on your show. Well, I won't put this on until Wednesday, so you got plenty of time. So all of a sudden, the captain of the defense, I don't know even how to define what happened. I don't know whether he retired or whether he's taking a step back. He coaches local football here in Oakville.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments on that and how surprised you were about that story?
I'm stunned. I saw him at the ring ceremony on Friday, and there was no indication. And just talking to Jim Barker, he said that that started to be a little bit of a rumble on Friday, but he just basically found out, like everybody else today, that Jordan wasn't going to come in. And maybe J.Y., the body just said enough. I haven't talked to Jordan, so that's complete speculation on my part, but maybe he knew. Maybe he wanted to go out with the ring. Maybe he didn't want to go through this and have his last game end the wrong way. Last year was an incredible ride. It was his second championship with the Argonauts, and I can't think of a better way to go out. And I don't think anybody begrudges him the opportunity to go out on his own terms, even though they would love to have him in camp, and maybe down the road he will come back. But if this is indeed the end of the Jordan Younger era, it's been a good run. The offense was usually behind the defense in this town, and considering he went seamlessly from corner to linebacker to safety in the span of 3 years, It might sound like an easy thing to do. It's not, and he did it almost seamlessly.
Adriano Belli did exactly what you're referring to.
Yeah.
He retired, and he came back to add a little more oomph to the team last year.
Yeah.
So it could be possible, more than possible. And Jim Barker is the type of guy that when he releases somebody, the first thing he says is he'll probably be back, or he might be back. That's the nature of the CFL. Now, from your perspective, as you said, you have the fans' eyes. So when you come to training camp, what do you think the fans would want to glean from what's going on here?
I think the fans are just going to want to look for the star players and see how they're doing, or maybe look at the new guys and see what Rombie Bryant's all about, or Khalif Mitchell, or maybe a Reggie Williams or somebody who's in camp. Just see those familiar names and maybe get more of a feel of what they're all about. Maybe that's what they're trying to do. But I think just come and enjoy football and learn what the coaches are trying to do and watch the drills. And the more you come to camp, the more you're going to learn about the sport. And for the novice fan or the layman who wants to come in and learn more, can't think of a better way to do it.
I'm a shameless promoter of the CFL, so I'm going to ask you. What makes the CFL so attractive in your mind as a fan?
I just like the nature of the sport and the fact that we have here in Ontario, we're within driving distance of NFL facilities. We have the CFL in our backyard. I love the fact that there are two different brands of the sport. I've never understood why people in this market specifically put a one against another. Oh, it's the NFL or the CFL. It's the CFL or the NFL. Look at the folks in Texas. They go to a high school game on a Friday night, a college game on a Saturday, and then they go see the Cowboys and the Texans on Sunday, and they appreciate each game for what it is. And some are bigger high school fans than they are Cowboys fans. So I don't know why you can't appreciate all 15 levels of football that we have here, whether it be OVFL or high school or CIS or CFL. Football's football. And very competitive games are very competitive games. I love the nature of the sport. It's wide open. Pass happy, and the athletes are great. So why wouldn't you appreciate the sport?
Well, Mr. Mike Hogan, play-by-play man on TSN for the Toronto Argonauts, congratulations on your ring.
Yeah.
And most of all, I'd like to say that how difficult could this be for you to repeat?
Me and Sandy are going to do every game, and I'm going to Regina one way or the other. I hope the Argos are with me.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thanks. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, too.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
Phil Pella of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
Yes, you are listening to Candid Frank Live, streamed on Rouge Radio. It's pretty neat when you're doing a radio show and you're negotiating with a producer over Facebook while the show's on the air. But, there are the things that we have to do to get by. So so there you go. So he's moved. Jay has moved to BC. We'll see how that works out. We have some people that are getting ready to join the show, to be a part of the show. And I really look forward to that. And people wonder and they ask me, they say, do you want sponsorship? And I say, of course I do. But it's not that important. What's really important here, guys, is that I have fun doing this show. I really do enjoy the CFL. And I do want to be a part of the fan base that is the Argo Lifers and is, Oski Wiwi and company even, the Red Blacks, all the CFL teams. And we're hoping to hook up with some of the fans across the country who follow other teams as well as the Argonauts and basically get a flavor for what the fandom is saying and experiencing during this CFL season. Now, fans really are what matter to me. The players know how I feel about them. I think very highly of them. I think very highly of the Argonaut organization. I haven't had a chance to get up close and personal with Hamilton. They're a little shy and demure and, haven't been as receptive to my overtures. Whether it has something to do with the fact that I'm an Argo fan, I don't know. But I'm a CFL fan, number one. I'm an Argo fan because this is my hometown, and that's why I root for this team. And it doesn't hurt either to have a home team that actually accomplishes something, that does something memorable, that participates in their league in a very effective and championship way. Now, having said that, this year could bring us a Hamilton Tiger Cat championship. Next year could be a red-black championship. You never know. That's the thing with the CFL, is that, you know, there are only, at this time, 8 teams. There will be 9. And it doesn't take that much to end up at the top of the heap, because the bottom of the heap ain't that far from the top of the heap. So that's another reason why the CFL is so interesting, is that it is a small group of teams. But, you know, it is, you know, basically a community-based league, basically. But it is a league that, you know, the tickets aren't out of reach price-wise. They're very reasonably priced. For the entertainment return, very reasonable price. And it's no surprise that there are fans out there that just think so much of the game. And, you know, the nice thing about going to training camp, you may think it's because I get to rub shoulders with Chad Cacker. You know, Ricky Ray, Chad Owens. But you know what? The biggest thrill I've had is running into some of the fans and also some of the coaches of the universities around the province. And that's really what I really enjoy, because, you know, for the most part, they're shy and they won't call the show. They'll only listen. I get these messages all the time saying, you know, I'd like to call, but, you know, I just, you know, it's not my style. I'm kind of, you know. And I'm going, come on, man. It ain't such a big deal. If I can do it, you can. I mean, seriously. If I can do it, you can. So instead of just whining about the fact that I don't get many fan callers, if any, I go out there and get them. And, of course, training camp's a great place to do it. And that's where I ran into Anya. Big JY fan. Major disappointment. She went there and he retired. There hasn't been any papers yet. I haven't heard of it being official yet. So you never know. This could be a clever little ploy by JY to avoid going to training camp. You know, be a little fashionably late maybe. You know what I'm saying? It's possible.
First thing I need to do is tell me your name and spell it out for me.
Anya Kragujac, A-N-I-A-K-R-A-G-U-L-J-A-C.
Okay. First of all, tell me a bit about yourself. You're an Argo fan. How long have you been an Argo fan?
I've had season tickets for about 13 seasons now. It's great to be able to get so up close and personal to a team, and that's a problem as well, because Jordan Younger was my favorite player, and he announced his retirement today.
Well, there was a little bit. Mr. Barker always refers to the fact that even though when the players leave the team, as you probably are aware, there's always a chance they might come back. Last year, Belly came back. So I guess you might hold hope out for that.
Oh, I am holding out hope. I've sent him a text message, and he hasn't answered me yet, but he knows how I feel, and I wish him all the best, but I'd love to see him back wearing the 26 and in the double blue.
What makes him such a favorite of yours?
I don't know. I took to him from day one when he became an Argo. He's become such a great leader to the team, and I think they're going to miss that leadership from him and all his knowledge as a player, and I'm hoping one day he can maybe have a coaching position out here.
Okay, you're a football fan. How far does your football fandom go?
Just the CFL.
Just the CFL?
Yeah.
And how long has it been?
I became a fan in 97.
So now, tell us a little bit about last year. Let's review the year from your perspective. They came out of the gate, I guess slow would be the word that you use, right?
Right. We had a couple missed field goals that cost us the game in the beginning, and I honestly didn't think we'd end up as champions.
There was the stretch, and I refer to it all the time, after the Hamilton game that they lost. It really looked like they might not make the playoffs after being in first. What was going through your mind at that time?
I don't know. Even going to Montreal for the Eastern Final, every year when we would go in the past, it's like, why do we go? We just come back disappointed. It's a really long drive home after that. And it was just amazing at the very end when they missed the catch and we ended up winning that game. And words can't describe it. I took time off of work just to celebrate the breakup week, and I managed to drink out of the cup afterwards as well. So.
Where did you drink out of the cup?
At the team party.
Well, that's nice. So now they win the Grey Cup. Here we are at training camp. There's always disappointments at training camp, like the one we just heard about Jordan Younger. But what's causing enthusiasm in your life right now as far as this training camp is concerned? New players, new situation?
Yeah, that's the sports of it all, right? You lose some, and then there are many more that will come in, and they'll never replace Jay White for me personally. But I'm excited to see the new talent, and hopefully Matt Black can step up and fill those shoes on defense. He's one of the best there, I guess, now. And I'm looking forward to this season. I think we got a good chance to make it into the playoffs again and hopefully repeat in Regina.
Well, I think most people would agree that the Argos didn't play their best football until the playoffs, until just before the playoffs. That Saskatchewan game seems to be the one general consensus says where the Argos turn things around.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think Adriano Belli brought a lot back to the team as well with his experience and knowledge of the game.
And enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah, I missed the short shorts at training camp.
Thank you for taking the time
to talk
to me, and I hope you have a great year.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, That's Anya Kragulichek. Wow. You sure know how to ruin a name, Frank. I mean, seriously. You know, I've had the good fortune of hooking up, as I said, with a lot of the fans and some of the new players. I have a new player that's, is climbing up my hit parade of favorite Argos. And his name is Khalif Mitchell. Khalif, how do you describe Khalif? Khalif is a rare bird. Khalif is, he's a guy with a, when you talk to him, he's very insightful, very thoughtful, and evocative. Who do we got here? Let's see. And he's a lot of fun to listen to. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, so I saw you were talking about the Ottawa Senators, Eugene Melnyk, he's lobbying effort to stand for the running at the casino at the Scotia Bank Place where they play. You know, what are the odds against that?
They're big. The odds are really big against it.
Is that the only answer I fucking get? Come on. Talk to me here, Jerry.
Hello?
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 Hello? Come on. Fucking answer me. I just asked a goddamn question.
I said there's no chance.
Okay, well, here's my next question. How big do you think Paul McLean's cock is?
Who?
Paul McLean, their coach. So you got a big cock, a little cock.
Paul McLean. Oh. Hey, this is my first crank call. Listen, give me your email address, and I'm going to send you a special prize.
Oh, wow.
Glad you're thrilled.
Fuck you, bitch.
Ooh, what a way to talk. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you can't, unfortunately, I can't screen the calls that well. But I have to say I was entertained. To be thrilled like that by someone who obviously had every intention to be obnoxious. He wasn't ubiquitous. He was direct, and he had a point to make, and he made it. Makes one wonder, doesn't it? Okay, so where was I? I was trying to be polite and answer the phone, and I did. And I was polite, and I did answer the phone. The person calling wasn't. So, yeah, fans are really important, even ones like that. They have an opinion. They don't, sometimes people don't know how to, express themselves. And it's ironic that he would call at the moment that I was talking about Khalif Mitchell. Khalif Mitchell's a rare bird. He's the kind of guy that speaks in a language that you know you may have difficulty understanding, because basically he's got a set of rules that he lives by, and his favorite word is token. So you know he gives people tokens to talk to him and to show that they have respect for him, which in my opinion isn't too much to ask. You know, let's just say that last caller used up the token that he has coming. So that's it for him as far as tokens are concerned. Now, you know, the other thing about Khalif Mitchell is that he's a big and he's intimidating. He's intimidating. Look, now, he did trim down the beard. You know, he's a little more, cleaner shaven, if I can use that term. So anyway, I had a chance to catch up to him, and I'll let you decide what you think of him. And in the middle of this interview, you got to be careful when you talk to this guy, because this guy could get a little upset with you. And you may note that in this interview he was a little upset. And when I find out the email address or where this person that called earlier, where he is, I'm going to send Khalif to go visit him. And Khalif will explain to him about tokens and respect and stuff like that. During the offseason, the Argos made a big trade. They traded for Khalif Mitchell from the BC Lions. Khalif decided that he really didn't want to come, but he did show up at training camp. And he did set some ground rules of how the interview process should go. Probably even further than interview, a person-to-person relationship.
More so that I am not eager to change anyone's perception. And more so, a lot of people are wanting to change someone's perception, when I'm more accepting of giving you a token to gather you, let you have any perception you would like of me. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, that's your free token. After that, you're bullying me. So therefore, after that, you've characterized yourself into a whole other class that I don't even want to be in. So I'm accepting of the faults that I have as a man, as a person, as an athlete, and I'm accepting of the fact that those can change with greater actions. But to dismiss or not want those to be shown, that's not who I am. One thing I could bring to the Argos is something that actually I don't think is much, besides the fact that I've already been a champ and lost. And, you know, coming to a championship team where all these guys have already won, there's not really much that I can say besides the fact that I know the empty feeling of wanting to be there, and you guys know the fulfillment of being there. So the two paradigms come at the same time. You know, I was getting prepared myself to play Toronto, and now I'm here and they're the champs. And so it's just one of those realities that when you wake up and you look at it, it's like it makes sense. But at the beginning, it just didn't make sense at first, you know, because of so many different opportunities. But you have to refine them, and you know you have to bring it down to a focus, and you just have to be a man about it. You know, I'm growing up as a man. I've only been playing football since 11th grade. I got a full scholarship after 2 years of college football, where people have been playing for 8 years and never could get it. So I'm learning. Football is still new to me, so I'm still growing in football. And to come here and to be under the stewardship of Jim Barker and Coach Chris and Coach Manalovic, I mean, it's great. And to be under the stewardship of these great teammates, I got most of my sacks against Ricky Ray. Now he's my quarterback. I give him a hug every day. I think I wanted to kiss him, but then someone stole that already. You know, the kissing guy is gone, so I'm real sad. But I definitely let him know, you know, like, you're a great quarterback. I have lots of respect for you. You guys even had a picture where I sacked him and I was smiling. But you know what? To be here and to be in the presence of those guys and to know that my offense can produce points and to be over here with a defense that's just locked down, it's a great feeling.
On that, you are Armon Armstead this year. Same number, and you're expecting.
He did? He had the same number?
96.
Wow, that's wonderful. It's a good number.
What do you think about this defense? Because this defense doesn't just expect you to run downhill. Armon Armstead, when he was here, he had to pull back into coverage. He had to do a bunch of different things. How complicated is this defense, and how difficult is it difficult to take in? Or
I'm Khalif Mitchell with 96. Armon Armstead is already gone. So I respect the fact that he was here and that he has passed, and he's in the NFL doing great things. And I pray that he just have more blessings. But this time, this year, we don't have the Grey Cup anymore. They've already took it. Perlator took it when they gave us the rings. I knew that when I got mine. See, the thing this team doesn't understand yet is the feeling of knowing that when you were supposed to win, you didn't. Because they did. And I did at one point. So that's what I can bring here. That's the biggest asset I have. Everything else is a plus to me being on this team.
How about the fire you bring? You're a very intense guy, and that intensity is necessary on the football field. Not every player is the same.
Yeah.
So there's a balance, correct?
Yes, sir.
And how do you feel you will create that balance?
Well, I mean, I was so excited to come out here. I haven't slept in 48 hours. 2 days. I haven't got no sleep. I almost fell asleep stretching. But then again, when the whistle was blown and it was time to go, I got tired, but then again, I was like, I'm in football. The sun came up. I can go and play. Man, I went harder, and I ran harder, and I pushed myself harder. And you know what? That is the first step to something greater than even I don't even know how great it can be, but I know that with this team and with the team we have, it's going to be something way special.
Go
way
much
special.
Further than you can, than you think you can, and keep going and ignore the pain, ignore the tiredness, and just keep going.
Now you sound like pinball.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who wants the last question? You can't have it. The lady.
Don't put me on the spot,
please. Did you take it out of your mouth? It's awesome, man. You know, it's a good feeling here. There's a lot of great guys here, you know, and I was looking at guys who I told them that I didn't want to come here, and a lot of them didn't understand why I told them that, you know, and I had business opportunities that I let go of to say that I came here, you know, and that's a sacrifice that I was going to take to put beyond just myself in football. But you know what? I love this team enough to put that aside and come out here and not sleep for a whole 2 days and give them 100%. So thank you guys. And more questions to come. And tell Chris Schultz I love him. Have a blessed day, guys. You're welcome.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be official. Be radical. The CFL is back, and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go, go, go. Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
There's a lot of talk about the CFL and their ability or inability to be a platform for a Canadian quarterback. Many a talent has arrived on the scene at CFL level, and usually talented quarterbacks coming out of the CIS in particular, they arrive, you know, at camp, and the first thing they're told is not whether they need to stretch your arm, throw a couple of passes, get in, you know, get ready to show us what you can do. The first question they would ask, and they ask CFL potential quarterbacks that are Canadian, what position would you like to play other than quarterback? And that has to be very disheartening for, quarterbacks that grow up here and play in our Canadian colleges and actually have great careers in college and then they graduate to the CFL, get drafted, and the first question you're asked is, what position would you rather play than quarterback? It has to be disheartening. There's a kid right now who, in Burlington, he graduated from high school, then went to camp with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and then played his first year with Western, sat on the bench for the first part of the season. Then later in the season, the quarterback got hurt. He was pressed into service and even played two playoff games, and he was outstanding. He is one of the best young quarterbacks to come out of Canada in a very, very long time. In hockey, they refer to players like this as the next one. He would be described as, is this the one? Well, I'll tell you something. William Finch is a very talented player. And he's practicing with the Toronto Argonauts, with the CIS program connected with the CFL, that has quarterbacks across the country playing with all the teams, practicing with them. I had a chance to catch up with Will, and he has some high hopes, and he understands the difficulty for a Canadian kid to be a quarterback.
I had a chance to talk to your dad.
Oh yeah.
Right, you're a local boy. I'm just down the road too. So.
Oh yeah.
Burlington's it has a lot of notoriety when it comes to minor football, and that's where you came from. Tell us a little bit about the minor football experience for you.
It's been pretty good. I've played in the BMFA in the Stampeder program for I'd say 10, 11 years, maybe even more, and. The coach is always good. They always develop their players. I know people call Burlington like the, I don't know what the word is, but what they call it, but it's something
the
that,
hub of football.
The hub of football. And a lot of good guys come from there, and a lot of great people too. So kind of cool to be known or classified in that kind of area, I guess.
Yeah, and now you're here on an intern program. Please explain the intern program.
They bring in a CAS quarterback to every one of the teams. I think they started it last year, I think. It's when we can come in and just learn from the other quarterbacks there. We don't get as many reps. We kind of be more so watch rather than perform. But we get the indie period. We get the Rotoneer, all that stuff. And it's cool to be in the environment. You always pick up things you really didn't know, and it's just a fun time. It's just fun to relax.
I'm sure. Also, William, it helps you relax when you go to or when you may come to this camp again or for a different reason, more or less, to make the team. So it's more of a, it helps you, you know, get the sharp edges off, you know, the nervousness and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. You kind of, you know what to expect. You can come in here and perform to your best ability, I guess, and not really kind of worried or nervous about what to expect. And I don't know, it's just a good experience overall. And it's a good thing to have.
What attracted you to playing football to begin with? Like, what was the big thrill of playing football?
I don't know. I think I started really young, and I think it'd be the backyard. My next door neighbors would always come over, and my dad would be out there, and we'd always be playing Kill the Carrier or whatever that is, and we just throw on the backyard and just make plays.
All right, and then you played in Burlington, and then you went to university, and you were down the road here, right?
Yep, and I'm in London.
In London?
Yep.
And what's that like, the experience there?
That's awesome. Coach Marshall's a great coach, and I've learned a lot so far. And still more to come, so three or four more years. And, you know, it's just an awesome tradition school.
No worries.
Everything is there. It's awesome.
And the hope is by the time that you graduate and enter into the combine, if you will, maybe quarterbacks that are Canadian will have a better chance to make the team? Because right now they don't really have the best of chances to make the team, do they?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're maybe not against it, but I know that it's hard to make it if you're a quarterback in Canada, and you know, that's one thing one of my goals is to kind of help pave the way or help keep that road going, because Quinlan has his chance right now, and I hope he can kind of open the door, and yeah, it's great.
Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Wish you all the best.
Dad's a really good guy.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca. Argo!
I am Ryder Pride.
The flag bearers of our league.
The spirit of our game.
I will deafen all foes.
I will represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans
with honor and pride.
And inspire the next generation
of the Ryder Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
That would be a tiger growling.
So many quarterbacks, we don't know what to do.
quarter two, mark the big 10, keep returning them all. Kick return, punt return, miss field goal. Arlen Bruce, reception left and right. He's gonna catch the ball if it's anywhere in sight. Big style, look, clutch as can be. Surpass 1,000 yards. Grand Prix, don't forget about Mark Way, quarter two. One hand, Maurice Mann.
Yeah, you know what it is. Everything I do, yeah, I do it big. Yeah, screaming that's nothing. When I pulled off the line, that's done. Came up from a town when you see me, you know everything. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. I put it down from the whip to my diamonds, I'm in. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Podcast, defense, man, don't know what to do. Throw it up, take it away, run, we got it too. Knowlton, defensive MVP, on jockey too. What the hell you gonna do? Easy bag, you gotta stay away. McKean Bradley, turn around and run away. Bo Smith, where the hell you gonna throw? Look back, see us dancing in your end zone.
Yeah.
It's a legacy, 65 years in the making, of undefeated seasons and Grey Cup wins. Old records broken and new records made. The players who gave it all on the field to lead our team to victory. Find out what legends will be born this year. Stamps season tickets start at just $139. Get yours at Stampeders.com. Be a part of the ongoing legacy. Stampeders football. Calgary's horsepower.
WinnipegBlueBombers.ca.
Montreal, you used to be winners. Now you're just whiners. Boo-hoo, we are different. We are French. Shut up. You're not even real French anyway, like those guys from Denmark, man. In Vancouver, we're real. Yeah, the championship BC Lions, they're really going to kick some Alouette butt. Boutine sucks. BC rules.
CFL, the rivalry lives on.
What's up?
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Well, okay, things are looking good. We had our first crank caller today. It was a monumental moment, and one that only a mental midget can bring to the show. It is always a pleasure to talk to you folks at 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. Or you can call using Skype, like the captain did. We have identical here, just so you know. But that's just something that, you know, whatever. So, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are up with the Argos this week on Wednesday. Where are you going to be when you watch the game? I haven't decided yet where I'm going to be, but I'd definitely be watching the game. There's also, is it Edmonton, Saskatchewan, are on TV as well. So that'll be a game, I assume, on TSN. They are the broadcaster of the Canadian Football League. And as you know, earlier we spoke to Mike Hogan, the play-by-play guy for the Argos, our CFL team. The media guys that around town here, do they show the kind of respect for, you know, to the CFL that the CFL deserves? Do they give enough airtime to the CFL and here in Toronto, the Argonauts in particular? Are the media fair with the CFL? Well, here's my answer to that question. They're as fair as they have to be. You know, it's you, the listener or viewer, or whomever they are trying to get to buy stuff. It's up to you, the fan of the CFL to make sure that they realize that we count too. That's our job. Not one that we have to do. It's one that we like to do. We like to promote our league. Sometimes I think, though, that the CFL is like a secret club, you know, like we all know how wonderful it is. And sometimes I'm kind of glad that not too many people know about it, because then it would be a crowd and then, you know, it would be much more expensive to go. But that's a sacrifice I could live with. And I'm sure most of you could live with that sacrifice. What is good about the CFL? Well, let's see. The players, we've established on the show time and time again how great the players are as people. Not even talking about them as football players yet. How wonderful they are as people. How much they love the game of football. How much they're willing to do to promote the game of football. How little they're willing to play for. I mean, that's a real fact. That's something unavoidable. You can't ignore that fact. But the talent that's in the CFL is underrated. Why is it underrated? Well, simply because football is a very popular game in North America. And the NFL could grow probably by 5 or 6 teams and still stock that league. You know, there was a day when ice hockey, the game that we Canadians live and die for, you know, when expansion went from 6 to 12 teams, the talent pool did get a little tested. Football, not so much. There are a lot of talented football players out there. And we talked to Khalif Mitchell, a very talented football player. And all it takes is to go to one game and you'll understand what I'm saying. And the difference between, you know, player number one down to player 100 isn't really that much, but there is a difference. But when you get past the top 100 players, you have to probably go down to 1,000 before you really can discern a difference. And then what the difference is which one that has the confidence to expose their talent. And that's basically what separates players from other players. It's not about talent. It's about execution. It's about, you know, being able to do what you need to do to win. You know, the difference in speed is incremental and not that much either. So, you know, it's great that we have this league. It's about to start. It's about to go to TV. The broadcaster, TSN, was so happy with the way things went last year. They actually are paying the league to show their games now, whereas they had a partnership before that. So now it's gone from a partnership to a profit-making league. Will it make the next step and really, you know, well, with Ottawa coming in next year, that's going to be another little boost. All these new stadiums, which includes Ottawa, Ottawa's coming in with a new stadium. Hamilton next year will have a new stadium. You know, ironically, the Argos are probably on the opposite end of that scale, where they may not have a home in Toronto to play. And it really, really concerns me, not because I'm an Argo fan, but more because I can't believe that in a community this size, that there isn't a place for a CFL team to play that, you know, warrants being proud of. You know, not that the Sky Dome Rogers Center isn't something to be proud of. It's something that isn't theirs and they have no control over. And quite frankly, they can be turfed, no pun intended or pun intended, at any moment. Now, is that right? In my opinion, no, that's not right. The CFL deserves to exist. You know, it may not be the most popular league in North America, but it's our league. I've said this time and time again, and I will repeat, the reason I love the CFL is because of Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Hamilton, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, BC. That's why I love the CFL. I don't love the CFL just because of the football. I love the idea of going to my home stadium and watching two Canadian teams battle it out after the Canadian national anthem. Is it because I'm proud to be Canadian? Abso-freaking-lutely. No doubt. That is why. I'm proud to be Canadian. And, you know, hockey, the National Hockey League, does not like Canadians. So when people say, are you a fan of the National Hockey League? No, I'm a fan of Toronto, and I'm a fan of, and by Toronto, I don't mean the Maple Leafs. I'm a fan of Toronto, and I'm a fan of the game. The league, it could disappear tomorrow, wouldn't matter a lick to me. It is, the dishonesty that's in that league is ridiculous, you know. So this is why I like the CFL. It's Canadian. It's a place where I get to feel as though I matter. I, as a Canadian, matter. When it comes to the National Hockey League, we're insignificant. We're just, what we are is, we are basically just, I'm sorry, but we're the golden goose. That's all we are to the National Hockey League. We're the golden goose that they suck dry so that they can promote hockey in the U.S. in the hopes that they make tons and tons of money and the owners in the Canadian part of the National Hockey League can make that much more money. But they'll sacrifice the fans for it. Canadian Football League? No, that's not what the Canadian Football League does. What the Canadian Football League does is they care about their fans. And it doesn't matter even how much they care. As long as it says Toronto, Edmonton, BC, Montreal on their jerseys, how much more do you want as a Canadian sports fan than that? Do we really need to see New York? No, we don't. I'd trade all the National Hockey League teams that are American for a couple more Canadian teams and kiss them goodbye. Because I'm a Canadian, and I'm proud to be Canadian, and the National Hockey League does not reflect my heritage. It has no respect for me as a Canadian. 20 years, ladies and gentlemen, since the Cup has come to a Canadian city. Is it a coincidence? You need to ask yourself that question. But most people won't ask themselves that question because, like sheep, if it says New York, it's got to be better than Montreal, BC, Winnipeg, Calgary, Saskatchewan. Who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? I love Saskatchewan. When we go to the games at the Rogers Centre and Saskatchewan comes in, oh my goodness, they do a wonderful job of supporting their team. They truly, truly do. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. Those fans to me are worth a lot more than Ranger fans or, you know, or Blackhawk fans, or worst of all, Bruins fans. You know, I am pro-Canadian, and I am loyal to those who treat me with dignity and respect. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Canadian Football League is a better league than the National Hockey League because it respects my feeling of being Canadian. National Hockey League, not so much. Anyway, enough about my political rant. We haven't done this. No, let's not do this one. Let's do another one. Let's see. Listen, why not? Why shouldn't I play this? After that rant, I got to play this.
Right.
And not to dwell on that point, but here's something I'd like to cap off what I said just a moment ago. If I got a call from a National Hockey League team and they said, "Listen, we want you to be one of our broadcasters, and we're paying you $1 million a year," I'd say, "Yes, thank you. I love the National Hockey League." Because isn't that what life's all about? Anyway, so I talked about the media, and it's really nice to run into media guys. They're, you know, many of them are very friendly, and they're very cooperative, and you know, a little ant like me in the media world comes up to him and says, "I got a minute to talk." You know what I'm saying? And they're very cooperative. They are. Very cooperative and very nice. And one of those nice people was Sunil Joshi. You may know him from CFTO, CTV, a few years ago, 20-some-odd years ago, 25 years ago. What was his name? Joe. I forgot his last name. CFTO, the boxer. I had him on the TV show that I had, and 20-some-odd years ago. And yes, about 20, yeah, be almost 20 years ago, about over 20 years ago. Well, yeah, that's right, too. Yeah, that's right, too. Shoot. Over 20 years ago. Good Lord. Where did the time go? Anyway, Joe, I forgot his name. It does matter. Okay. Anyway, his buddy, Sunil Joshi, was at the practice facility. And he's had the good fortune of following the team over quite a few years now, almost 20 years, if not 20 years. You may remember that he started at City TV and then he moved over to CFTO. I'm with Sunil Joshi. Sunil, you've been around for a while in sports.
Unfortunately, yes.
And the CFL's always been a fun sport. A lot of times it doesn't get the kind of credit it deserves. Define for us what makes the CFL a great sport to watch, please.
Well, the game itself is just so unique. I know coaches, when they come from the United States, will say, "Oh, well, it's the same thing as tackling, passing, and running." Well, it's not that, because the ratios are different. You have to have X number of Canadians. The field is wider. The field is longer. You take all of that into account, and three downs, the 25-second clock versus the 40-second clock, all those things. It is football, yes, but it's so truly unique that it takes a special type of athlete to come up here and be successful. You can't just be a prototypical 6'8", 300-pounder and expect, "Oh, yeah, well, I'll just roll over them." No, you can't, because guys are quicker, so you've got to be quicker. So that's what makes it so unique and so much fun.
Do you pay much attention to the fans and the way the fans behave across the country? And have you had a chance to look at fans? The obvious things are the Toronto fans are known to be quiet, while the Saskatchewan fans are known to be. What makes a CFL fan a CFL fan?
I have had the privilege of covering four Grey Cups live. Ottawa, Edmonton twice, and Hamilton. And I can tell you, the most amazing thing about a CFL fan is when they go to the Grey Cup, everyone's Canadian, first of all, and everybody's ready to pick up and buy somebody a beer. Yeah, even if the Calgary-Edmonton rivalry exists or the Saskatchewan-Toronto rivalry exists. That one year in 97, it was Saskatchewan against the Argonauts, and they were ready to throw me out of their hospitality room because I was doing a live hit from in there. But the minute the live hit finished, I had five beers stuck in my hand. So, you know, that's the kind of hospitality. And so, they enjoy a good ribbing as much as each other. And so the Argo fans were ribbing the Green Rider fans and vice versa. But as I said, at the end, they hugged, gave each other a beer and said, "Okay, we'll meet on the field."
There's no doubt that the numbers aren't there that the CFL would like. It's growing rapidly, especially because of TSN and their good work with promoting the game and then developing this Friday night football. It's not a long history, but it's on the short term, it's been very successful. Do you see the upswing in the interest in the game?
I do, and what the area they really need to promote is in the high school level right now, because that young generation of fan that was lost during the blackout era in the CFL, which is almost a 10-year period, really hurt the league so much, because so many young people decided, "Well, screw it, then I'm going to just watched NFL Sunday afternoon, and automatically became Buffalo Bills fans or Detroit Lions fans or whatever border city you were near. You know, the folks in Quebec and Maritimes became New England Patriots fans because of that, and sort of turned their back on the CFL. You got to go to the high school level, grade 9, grade 10, have them, you know, conduct clinics or whatever it takes, have them introduce them to the Ricky Rays and the Canadian guys who went to York University and other Canadian universities and are making a living in the CFL. Then build that fan base, and I think what you'll find is that much younger fan base will come to games as opposed to what we're seeing at this point, you know, adults of our vintage going to CFL because we grew up with it.
Well, you're a little younger than I am, but that's okay. Essentially also what you're saying is that anybody who plays the game of football learns to really love it and really becomes attached to it. So they might be more prone. Actually, they will be more prone to go to the games. And that's the whole thing.
And not only that, because of their involvement, they'll take their friends, who'll take their relatives. And before you know, it's not just five guys going to the game. It's 15.
Absolutely.
You know, and they're bringing their girlfriends, their sisters, whatever the case may be. And that's really what you need. And once they get exposed to the game and get some enjoyment out of it, then they become fans.
That is the key, though. Once you go to see the game live, it's hard to ignore the fact that it's a good game.
Absolutely.
A great game to watch, and you're entertained when you go.
And the in-game experience has changed also since when we were younger. You know, they're doing so much now for the fans that go to the game. So even the young kids going with their parents, it's a different experience for them. That they understand that, yeah, there's a game that they may not know what's going on the field, but you know, they get a T-shirt or they get a bobblehead or they get a stuffed animal or something. So automatically, that becomes a must-go-to event from now for the kids.
Thank you, sir.
Fellow of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
Now, talked about great players. And by the way, on a note, Sunil Joshi,
I'm feeling a little bit creaky right now after talking to Sunil. He sure made me feel old. And I don't mind feeling old, except that it means my rooster has left the hen house.
Yes, I do feel old. But here's a guy who makes me feel young again. This guy's, you know, the fortunes of the Toronto Argonauts, they spun on one deal. Now, they had the makings of a team as we do know now. We didn't at the time, but when Ricky Ray came to Toronto, the hope was that he would bring his talents here to help create an atmosphere of winning. Now, did anyone really think that Ricky Ray would be holding the Grey Cup, the 100th Grey Cup, up in the air? I don't think many people did, so it was a bit of a surprise. You know, you have the theory of the perfect storm. You have Cackard comes into his own, Chad Owens, fifth on the depth chart in Montreal, comes to Toronto, becomes a central figure, wins the MVP, Cackard, MVP of the Grey Cup. Ricky Ray, this guy is a talent. And I've had a chance to talk to him a few times now. And I got to tell you something. Dude's a nice guy, too. This guy's a nice guy. I learned all about his golf experience. And we had a chance to talk to him. It was real brief, but how's your timing coming along?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely more comfortable, being in the offense for a year and being around these guys and knowing what to expect from receivers, running backs, and all those guys. So, in that sense, it's a little bit easier. You're still rusty coming off of a long offseason, so just got to work through that the next few days. Thank you.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
Joe Pella of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
I don't know if I get a bigger tickle out of Joe Appel's part of that or the girls' part of that. It makes me feel so warm and fuzzy inside to hear those people say my name. It really does. Now, another guy that I mentioned, of course, this is Chad Cackard, and caught up to him.
Well, we all know that Chad Cackard won the MVP of the Grey Cup. Chad and feels it's very important players on the team not being selfish. They literally work together towards the same goal, regardless of what position or where they stand in the depth chart.
And we're helping them out, and that's something that we do. It's not one of those things where we know we're all fighting for the job. We all give each other the best chance we can.
Chad, the pace looks pretty fierce out there.
Not real quick. A lot faster than you train yourself in the offseason, but it's progression where you move from the weight room to the speed work to the practice field and then to the game. And Chad,
how's it going?
Good. How's that ring feel?
Oh, it's heavy. Makes my hand feel small.
Isn't it nice? A year ago, you were not really a backup, but you weren't in the forefront.
Yeah.
An amazing year last year, going from being required to carry some load for the team up front.
Yeah.
And then you end up winning the Grey Cup MVP. Tell us a little bit about the year and how amazing it was for you.
That was a long journey. It's easy to look back on and just think, oh, that was fun, and we won the Grey Cup, and I was a part of it. But then, when you really look into the details of it, there's a lot to be appreciative of.
You have to be real proud of the work that you did.
Yeah. But it's all just a piece of the machine, as Pinball was telling us yesterday. Everyone is grafted in, and everyone's doing their part. And you had a sense of it last year. When we got in the playoffs, it just felt like everybody was in it, and there wasn't any doubts.
There's times when players are challenged. You were challenged last year, and you rose to the challenge. How beneficial is it to have guys like your GM, Jim Barker, and your coach, Scott Milanovic, who are really accountable kind of guys? They're guys that believe in accountability. How helpful is that for you in your career?
Well, it's helpful for everybody on the team as long as you're doing the right things. And a lot of coaching staffs will say that they're going to play the guys who are going to get the job done. And sometimes you have guys who have talent that don't fit the system, and some guys, seem to fit the system but may not have the talent. So they do a good job of finding the right guys who are going to fit that mold for this offense and this defense, and the guys who are going to be able to do well on specials. We came together last year, obviously, and I think that we'll build on that this year and get together for 2013.
Thank you.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. Well, we're discussing, I'm discussing with, this is funny, I feel like I'm talking, it's really Hollywood, right? For those of you that listened to the show last week, we had some stunt people and actors and had four of them on, and they've been in some pretty impressive movies like Star Trek, recent movies, Resident Evil, all that kind of stuff, and we had them on, and on Fridays we do a show that has little to do with football, little to do with the CFL. So I'm proud to announce that we're in the midst of negotiations. My people, being me, are talking to Frank D'Angelo's people, which would be his people. He really has people. I don't have people. He has people. Anyway, I'm in negotiation with his people to have him on the show. Why would I have Frank D'Angelo on my program on Fridays? Well, Friday is a day when we let loose. It's like weekend for me, you know what I mean? And it's like weekend for Candid Frank Live. So, you know, we talk football Monday and Wednesday. And then on Friday, we just scour the newspapers, Aaron, William, Freeland, and I. And we pick topics to discuss, or if I can find somebody to talk to like we did that really is interesting. And I think the people that do stunts in movies don't get near the credit that they deserve. And they raise the issue of the fact that, you know, the awards now for special effects have taken over from stunt people and the work that they do. Hopefully they'll start to recognize the job that stunt people do and the fact that they make movies that much more interesting while keeping the stars of the show safe. So anyway, so like I said, we're negotiating with Frank D'Angelo. This is a guy. It'll be very interesting to talk to. There's going to be a lot to talk about. Back in the day, some 25 years ago, 30 years ago, my mother used to buy D'Angelo apple juice. And we used to drink it, and, you know, it was good stuff. And it tasted different than most apple juices. One thing about Frank D'Angelo, doesn't matter what he does, he puts his spin on it. And recently, he came out with a movie and has some really good actors in it. It's a mob movie. I'm sorry I don't have all the information. I'll have to search that before I interview him. And I think it's on demand on Rogers, which may mean it's on demand on other cable stations that you may be a member of. Anyway, it's going to be very interesting. He is a singer. He has on demand. He has a TV show, you know, Johnny Carson-like thing, you know, or Dean Martin, more or less. More like the Dean Martin show. But when I say that, I'm speaking to probably only a few of you that even know the show I'm talking about. Might be better to say, you know, I guess now what you should say is, what's that guy that we like watching? What's that guy's name? Yeah, Jimmy Fallon, thank you. More of a Jimmy Fallon kind of guy type thing, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, so yeah, we'll have him on hopefully one of these Fridays, whether it's taped or live, whether you get a chance to talk to him or not, I'm not sure. You know, so he's a singer, he does all this different stuff, he plays goal, you know, in hockey. And he's a very media-savvy guy. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much talent he has, the biggest talent he has is his drive. And that's what I want to talk to him about his drive. Where does he get all this energy and this ability to pursue what he wants to pursue? I mean, the guy is a dynamo when it comes to chasing stuff, doing stuff. In fact, he is behind the next sports star blog video show, right? It's actually, in quotes, won the next star contest, in quotes, I'm putting. I've got little air quotes going on. But anyway, he runs that thing. And you know, he was in my mind, and I'd like to talk to this guy. This guy, now suddenly he's doing a movie too. Oh, my goodness, that's interesting. I check this guy out, see what makes him tick. You know, we'll see what makes him tick, and we'll make him talk. That's what we're planning on doing. One of these Fridays, he'll be on. There's also a couple of surprise guests that we have coming in the future. One is a great CBC star, comedian, and I'm hoping to hook up with him and get him and talk to him on Friday as well. You know, there's a lot of talent out there that's Canadian and maybe doesn't get the kind of exposure that maybe it should, because we always seem to be looking for this approval from the United States. Well, on this program, we're going to try our best to show off the Canadian talent. Now, the best news to come out to be proud of being Canadian, and I'm very proud to say this because I liked the kid, liked him when he was at the Fan. Basically, when you called, you talked to him before you talked to the on-air host. Strombo's moving to CNN. Yep, Strombo, that's right, the guy that's on the CBC. What's his name, Carolyn? George? What'd you say? What was that? Strombolopoulos? George. Jorge. Yeah, so he's moving to CNN. I don't know if he's leaving the CBC or if he's just doing CNN as well. Anyway, props to him. Great Canadian kid. Great Canadian story. And a wonderfully different interviewer. He is what I would call, he is the Jimmy Fallon of interviews. There, if you don't know who Jimmy Fallon is, okay, fine. He's American. But to me, they're peas in the pod. They're both like new age, cool guys. Guys that come across as being cool and hip. Now I'm giving away my age. And fun? They're fun? My wife says they're fun. Did you know that, George? You're fun. You're fun. Good for you, George. Yeah, so I'll be looking forward to seeing him on CNN. And love to talk. You know what? There's a guy I'd like to see if I could hook up with and talk to. Now, that would be a great conversation. So, now, I forgot the anchor's name on CNN. I saw George interview him. And he was a guy I wanted to interview. The reason I wanted to interview him, and I forget his name, and I know you're not going to know his name either. The guy on CNN that I really like, the African American with the milky complexion and good-looking guy, very good-looking guy. And I was trying to get a hold of him at CNN to talk to him about the way he's one of these new, different reporters that I admire that actually has his heart on his sleeve. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, though. Only because I said he was good looking, right? Yeah, so you know the guy I'm talking about. So he really does throw his emotion behind what he's talking about. I'm not going to get into, you know, the tragedies that he's covered and what he's said. And for those of you that follow at all CNN and follow the news when some of the real tragic stuff hits, he's the guy that basically looks at it from a human side as opposed to simply news. But of course, at CNN, they talk about something for so long, they got to have a different perspective. So yeah, so Frank D'Angelo will be hitting the entertainment side Fridays. That's the kind of stuff we talk about. That's what we do on Fridays. My partner on that is Aaron William Freeland. And Aaron is one of my favorite people. As soon as I met him, I liked him. And he does the stats for the Toronto Rock. And he sits up there with Bruce Barker, a guy I knew way back in the day when I was on television and stuff. And Bruce is another prince of a guy. Anyway, Aaron is... he's going to love when I say this. And I don't mind if you guys, if anybody reminds him. He is a geek's geek. And, you know, he does his game night, I think Mondays and Tuesdays or something like that. And he's one of those guys, I swear I can imagine him in a wizard's costume on the internet and doing his thing. And I'm nothing like that, which is why I like Aaron. And, you know, for those of us that have friends that are like us, I don't find that as beneficial as having people who are different. And that's why I even appreciate that caller earlier that was referring to roosters and stuff. It takes all kinds of people. And the way to learn and learn through life is to experience other people. So hopefully when Frank D'Angelo comes in, he'll teach me something about that drive and something about, making things happen, because that guy can make things happen. We've only got a half hour left in the show. And again, I'll remind you, the phone number is 714-242-5250, 714-242-5250. You can also, as the captain did, captain.al, captn.al, as he called, you can as well through Skype. And please, and if you want to be rude, go ahead. If you're going to call, what the heck? You know what? It's you who creates your image. You yourself are the one that creates your image. You yourself are the one that creates your success or your failure. If what makes you happy is being somebody like that, you're welcome aboard. I want you to be happy. And this show's about getting together and having fun. This is why I do it. I don't do it here because I'm in a contest. This is all for fun. Now, speaking of fun, it was a lot of fun to talk to Chad Owens. I had a short conversation with him while he was stretching on the grass. And I got down and he asked me if I was going to stretch. I'm not going to stretch. That's way too healthy. It looked like the practice was motoring there a little bit.
It was fast, man. It was what you expect and what you want out of your practice. But I mean, I can't lie. I mean, shoot, it's the first double day. The second one, you know, getting started was kind of, okay, let's go. Once you get going, then start to feel it again. But it's what it is, man. It's the expectation. You know, he said it last year. And so we knew what was expected this year, and I think everyone's bought in, at least the returnees, the receivers we understand. I mean, everyone understands what it takes to win, to finish, and the tempo that you put in practice.
Congratulations on the season you had last year, and congratulations on your mixed martial arts victory.
Thank you.
I know a lot of you got your great cup ring. How does it feel?
No, it's awesome. It's definitely what you work towards, the team back together. We enjoyed it.
Joe Pella of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
I just get all tickled. During the offseason, the Toronto Argonauts made a big trade, brought in Khalif Mitchell. Well, at least their intention was to bring him in, but Khalif Mitchell didn't seem to agree right away that he wanted to come here. But he did finally show up at camp, and Coach Milanovic was asked about his presence and how he's integrating with the rest of the players.
He's been enjoyable. The guys seem to like him, and I've spent a day and a half with him really at this point, Matt. But I have no issues with him.
Do you?
With any player, I evaluate them on the history I have with them, and it's not Khalif. It's every player. When they come here, they get, we start from scratch, and I try to make my own decisions, and I try to do that over a period of time. So. So far, so good.
Not mindful.
Like I said, I'm going to take it as it comes, and I'm going to give him the opportunity to do what every player we have here, to do the right things and become a part of this team. I think he really enjoyed himself last night. You guys can ask him yourself. We got a special group here, and hopefully he feels that.
Well, the trade was made. There were some reports coming from the West that he might not support that. At what point did you feel confident he was going to come in, or was it when he finally came in you were 100% sure he was going to be here?
I felt confident, I guess, for the last month or so. The thing people forget was Ricky Ray was pretty shocked when he was traded too, and we were making fun of him the other day. He was still a little homesick, we felt like, when he went out to Edmonton for that first home game. So it's, getting traded is not always fun for the player, and some people react differently than others. So, like I said, we'll just we'll give him an opportunity to be an Argo.
Forgive me for still poking.
Coach Milanovic, has Khalif earned his job on this team?
Everybody, with the exception of Ricky. Ricky's earned his job, and he'll be the quarterback. I make that announcement right now. But, he's got to earn his position, and we expect him and every other player that's here to carry on like we expect an Argo to carry.
Scott, do you see the players for you on defense
to work with that you feel that you can have success? That's been your biggest turnover.
Do I think that the guys that are here are good enough to win with? Yeah, I mean, it's been one day, but I thought it was an excellent first practice. And we did a lot offensively, and Chris had a lot in about twice as much as he had in it this time a year ago. So, you know, and we're going to try to take this slow and give these guys time and you know, try not to make snap judgments. But, look, I have no doubt that we're going to be good enough.
You're the coming in, complacency, they won it last year. How do you sort of kickstart that emotion that might not be there for all?
Well, Pinball did a phenomenal job last night at the meeting. I brought him in for, you know, a pinch hitter. But, yeah, I mean, I'm conscious of it. And it's coaches, too. You know, it's players, it's coaches, it's everybody. You can't relax in this game or somebody will pass you by. So we've been very conscious of making sure our energy as coaches, as players, and our tempo is exceeding where we were a year ago. And whether we'll be able to do that every day, you know, remains to be seen. But that's the goal.
I guess it's good to have a little extra help this year, no?
Instead of having an offensive coordinator. I let him be the screamer in the second practice. Yeah, it's, well, I mean, guys seem to know what they're doing a little better than they did a year ago, too. So it was a sharp practice. I was pleased with the first. I thought it was crisp, and the ball wasn't on the ground a lot, and I won a lot of penalties. But I'm sure we'll find we have work to do.
Did you just change your position?
Well, I think what it allows me to do is concentrate on particular places and not have to, you know, I'm pretty sure Chad Owens can do the job at W, and Rick, you know, it enables me to kind of narrow my focus, you know, might help me be able to help Chris as we make decisions as to who's going to be in our defensive backfield, some things like that where it's freed me up a little bit where I didn't know who was starting, so I guess from that aspect it's a little bit, it feels like there's a little bit less on my plate. Thank you.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, 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 go. Woo!
Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You have any more popcorn?
Hello, fellow of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
I'm telling you, that tickles every time I hear it. Now, you know the nice thing about going also, there's always these hot chicks hanging around the football players, you know, and sometimes you can get to talk to them. And they'll even answer you, and they'll talk back, you know. And two of the hottest chicks at practice last week were, who were they? Oh, yeah, Heather Webster and Lori Bursey. I'm talking hot, baby. These girls are hot, man. They're the hottest, gorgeous women. And I had a chance to talk to them. Yeah, Heather and Lori. Awesome. Really, really awesome. Wonderful moment for me. I was just stunned to be even near them. Oh, by the way, I'm not being sarcastic. How you doing?
Doing great. Football started.
What are you doing here?
Watching football.
Watching football.
Seeing what we have this year.
Let's review last year.
Yeah.
Because I don't get much chance to talk to the fans about the experience last year. The Argos came out of the gate kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
But then mid-season they started developing a number one team, first place
right.
team.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, how did you feel after that Hamilton game that they lost? Were you concerned that they would make the playoffs after having such a great start?
No, the way the last 2 years have gone, it's always what you do near the end. Like, it start off slow, like the ones that start off strong always, like, peter out through the halfway through the season. So it's how you finish, and you just have to be patient as much as you get mad because they lose, and especially when it's Hamilton, but you just keep plugging away and being a fan.
So then they go into Saskatchewan, and I think we all agree that that was the turning point. For the
oh, yeah, definitely.
That, they really, you know, Saskatchewan gave them a tough time at home prior to that game. And it really, the playoffs hinged, at least
yep.
they began at that game.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the excitement that you felt when they won that game.
Oh, it was just great because think that you possibly have a chance and your team's in it, and it's like, it's great. Great feeling.
Now tell me about yourself and how long you've been a football fan and what drew you to the Canadian Football League.
I've been a fan basically growing up in my house. My dad always watched sports, and you had a choice. You either watched it or you didn't watch it. And my girlfriend took me down to a Montreal Hamilton game, and that was 74. And just the excitement and seeing the live game, and I've been a fan ever since.
If I guess it's a tough question, but what do you see this year that may be different than last year?
Our defense. Not too many people back, but offense seems to be not too much changes, but defense has a bit concern to see what's going to happen there.
Heather, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. You're welcome. Hey, Lori first. She is also the head honcho of the Friends of the Argonauts.
Hey, Frank.
You know, Lori, this is great. It's finally back. I've been doing CFL in the Argo since January. I don't know why, but I did it anyway. It's finally, there's actually a reason to go out to a football field, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is just so exciting. And see, again, Mother Nature is an Argo fan because it was pouring rain this morning when I left the house, and now it's bright and sunny and beautiful and warm, and everybody's having a great time here.
Tell me about the Friends of the Argonauts and what's going on this year or where you're at right now.
Well, we always have our annual corn roast, and this year it's going to be on August the 10th, which is works out perfectly for the schedule, and everybody's going to be around, so that'll be great. And I'm going to plan to do a bus trip to Guelph when the Argos play the Ticats.
And let's talk about last year in the Grey Cup. I was with you there in Montreal at that game. It came down to one throw in the end zone,
yeah.
In the Argo end zone, and hit the numbers. And I still, nobody can tell me exactly why that ball wasn't caught. What was going through your mind when that ball was in midair?
Well, you know, it's funny because I didn't even know who it was that didn't catch the ball at the time. Found out later, and the reason why I didn't is because once that ball was not caught, I burst into tears. I was just sobbing, and it didn't really matter because it meant we were going to the Grey Cup. But interestingly enough, it was Brian Bratton, who right now is a guest coach here today.
How's that for irony?
Yeah, I know. So we love him.
Tell me about this year. How do you see things stacking up for the fans with their team, the Argonauts?
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. I mean, we've got some holes to fill. There's absolutely no question. And, you know, one of our leaders, Jordan Younger, our starting safety, you know, he's a leader on and off the field. We're really going to miss him. And, you know, who knows? Anything can happen this week. But, you know, we're missing a couple of defensive backs as well. And our defensive line has been pretty much decimated except for Kevin Huntley. But, you know, this happened to us last year, too. We lost Byron Parker and quite a few other veterans. We thought we were doomed, but, you know, that's what team is all about in terms of football. I mean, you lose people and you have to regroup, and people have to mentor each other and help each other out, and it all worked out well last year, so I'm sure it will again this year.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's not like this coaching staff doesn't have the experience of coming in first year.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, so really they're ahead of the game of last year. At least they know some of the people. They didn't know anybody last year.
Yeah. That's a great point, because everybody was new last year. The coaches, the players, everything. But, you know, there's a sense of continuity this year, which makes me feel so much more comfortable. The coaches, for the most part, except for missing Orlando Steinauer, are basically the same. And the offense is basically intact as well. So the biggest part is ensuring that Ricky Ray is comfortable. And the reason I think we started off slow last year is, you know, when you spend your entire career with one team and one system and pretty much the same organization, to come into a brand new environment like Ricky did, I knew it was going to take some time. So I was willing to be patient because I've watched the magic of Ricky Ray, and I've always wanted him on our team. So when he finally came, I was absolutely over the moon. And whatever sacrifices this team has to make to keep him and keep him happy, then we have to. I mean, we've lived so many years without a qualified, competent quarterback. And to have him is just thrilling for me. As long as we have him, everything else will fall into place.
GM Jim Barker is well suited for this situation. He's the type of man who doesn't make any bones about the fact that even though he finds a jewel, let's say like Kackert, the next day he's out looking for the guy that's going to replace Kackert. So I guess he's wouldn't it be fair to say that he's pretty well set to deal with the situation at the turnover?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Jim has built a lot of credibility in the league. He's got some tremendous contacts, not only throughout Canada, but certainly in the U.S. as well. And, you know, when you build a trust and credibility with people who can help you out and point you in the right direction and help you find players to fill in the gaps, and you know, that's a huge part of the battle, and Jim's proven that he can find some pretty decent players. So I'm not concerned about that. It might take some time to get people up to speed. You talk to anybody who's played in a U.S. system all their lives, it's just very difficult for them to make that transition to the wider field and the longer field and really understand the nuances of this game. But, you know, if Jim can do it, or if anybody can do it, Jim can do it. So.
Now, tell me about the Friends of Argonauts and how people can join. I'm a member.
Yes.
Unabashed. Facebook, there's a Facebook page.
There's a Facebook page. And people can reach us through friendsoftheargonauts.com, through our website. And, so we're hooking up with renewals pretty soon, going into June, just waiting for the pins to arrive, and we're off to the races again.
Congratulations, and thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
Joe Pella of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
Well, what do you know? So, we're winding down to the last few minutes of the program, and we've had a chance to listen to some of the Argo players, some of the fans, the media, and we've even had a caller today, our first crank caller, who quoted the Bible, and the cock crowed three times. And three times he did. You know, it's been a real interesting evening. And also, we want you to know that we'll be going along with Rouge Radio again next week. They're back in season, so we will be going out west. So basically, it'll be an interesting experience anyway. So, okay, so let's go to another interview, and this one here is important. The CIS, when we link up with Rouge Radio, Jay Sperling, now a producer of Rouge Radio, he's in BC, moved from Edmonton to BC, and now that means that, you know, he's further away, but still, he understands that we can't have the show on too early. Especially he understands why we shouldn't have the show too early. So that's the hope, is that we go national and, you know, our numbers hopefully will jump. And hopefully you'll be able to say you knew the show when. So as a coach for York University, Coach Craney had a chance to be at the training camp for the Argonauts. And I had a chance to interview him. And this is how the interview went. At the Argos training camp, bumped into Coach Craney, York University coach.
I wanted to talk to you about this program that the CIS and the CFL have of bringing in quarterbacks to train with the CFL team. I've heard that that's been a real rousing success.
Oh, without a doubt. I think it's great. Anytime we can, you know, promote Canadian contact, especially at the quarterback position, you know, I think it's so beneficial for the Canadian game and for young Canadians, you know, playing the quarterback position.
I can't imagine how frustrating it must be for the individual player who has aspirations of being a quarterback, but they're really into it, a tough battle, because it's not about talent, it's about training and experience, and the Canadian players just don't have the same amount as the American quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's it. You know what? It's definitely an issue. I think we're doing a better job. I know coaches, and I know Football Canada, they're putting a stronger emphasis on the position. You know, one of the big things we found in some experience I have in the U.S., one of the big differences of that position is the sport of baseball. You know, a lot of quarterbacks in the U.S. grow up 2 years old learning how to throw a baseball. And, you know, it's the throwing sport and that throwing motion that further enhances their training capability. So, but again, I think Football Canada has addressed it, and I think they're doing the best they can in order to rectify that situation.
Let's switch gears now. Let's talk about your team. What do we have to look forward to with the Argos?
You got a lot to look forward to. It's, you know, this is the first year where it's really my team. Everyone on that team is someone I recruited and brought into the program, so I'm very excited about that. I think we're going to be a competitive thing, a very competitive team, and you know, our only nemesis this year is going to be youth, and that's not a bad thing, I think.
Well, you have to build from that, don't you?
You have to build from that, yeah.
Experience only comes with experience.
Exactly, and we're going to get a lot of that this year. You know, we were a very young team last year, did some great things, you know, finishing, you know, third in the OUA in offense. You know, defense, we got to tighten up a few things, you know. Very tough schedule this year, but we're excited for that. That's how we're going to get better, is by playing the better teams.
Well, congratulations on having all the players you want.
And I hope
they develop at a speed and a rate of speed that you can live with.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, 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 go. Woo!
Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
Okay. We spoke earlier about Quincy Hurst. At least the coach did. Quincy had a devastating injury last year at the beginning of training camp. Still stayed with the team, and the Argos really had high hopes for him. And watching him play, practice, whatever, I can see why they're, you know, he's a prototypical Argo receiver, punt returner.
Quincy Hurst.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Quincy, last year you had an injury, and it really put a damper on your progression, if you will.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened and how it affected you.
I tore my PCL in the preseason. Obviously affected my whole season. I didn't get to play all year, so it was basically just a mental year for me.
Quincy, you come from CIS?
That's right, University of Manitoba.
Okay, so when you came to camp last year, you had to learn a new city. Did you get any advantage, at least in the being injured part, of being more prepared this time around for camp?
Absolutely. I remember day one last year was 300% different than these days this year. I got my head around the offense, and I'm not thinking, I'm just going out there and reacting.
Okay, what would mark a successful camp for you? What do you see as successful for you? Other than the obvious, making the team and scoring a touchdown in the first game.
Just contributing, you know, being able to be part of the rotation and contribute all year.
All right, see, you have a great quarterback.
Excellent.
Must be nice to have that kind of quarterback, and the desire to catch.
Oh, exactly.
Ray must be really tempting.
Oh, very much so. I mean, he just throws such a perfect ball. You don't have to run great routes. You don't have to be in the exact spots, because he's going to get you there. He's going to throw the ball to where you need to be. And he always keeps you safe with the ball. You never need to worry about getting hit or anything like that.
Tell us about University of Manitoba and how you, when you went there, a little bit of the history there, how you enjoyed that experience, the CIS.
It was fun. It was my first time playing Canadian ball since I was really young, playing community in Vancouver. Coach Brian Doby was excellent. He was great to me. We didn't have the most successful seasons when I was there, but I got really acclimated to the Canadian game, and it helped me be able to be successful here.
Thank you, Quincy.
All right, so Quincy Hurst. You know, he's now that I've spent some time around training camp and witnessed myself the body type that plays CFL and that can be on a CFL team, I have to tell you this. For the smallish kind of guys who are physically fit, don't get me wrong, there's a place for them in this league. And that kind of makes me feel good because, you know, when I was a kid, I was a small guy. I didn't realize or had no way of knowing that, you know, you could actually, as a smaller framed person, you could play in a professional league like the Canadian Football League. You actually can. That's not to suggest that they're all diminutive. And I don't know your definition of diminutive, what it is, but it'll be your own, I'm sure. But yeah, it's quite amazing to see the body types that play in the CFL. So for those kids out there that want to play football, you build up your muscle strength, you know, your strength, your speed, your agility, and your intelligence, and you could play in the CFL. It doesn't matter what size you are. And from that, what I glean is a lot of hope. And, you know, maybe that's something we should keep reminding people, that you don't have to be big bruising to be, you know, a CFL fan. Now, it is, of course, we're coming to the end of another show, and I haven't played my favorite tune yet. So, folks, well, you know what? I want to play the Ottawa Red Blacks Are Back Again, okay? And then we'll go right into Mike Richards' I'm an Argo.
It is a first down for Ottawa. The football at the 24 of Saskatchewan. Clements coming back to throw again. Looking, gets all kinds of protection. Throws into the end zone for Gabriel. Touchdown!
In 1898, the Ottawa Football Club adopted the red and black of the Canadians that fought with Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders in the Spanish-American War. They also adopted the name. Et c'est à partir de ces débuts modestes que le rouge et noir a été associé à la ville d'Ottawa. The Carleton Ravens, Ottawa Fury FC, Ottawa 67s, and the Ottawa Senators have all adopted the colors and built their own history and traditions. Mais le rouge et noir se retrouve d'abord sur les chandails des équipes d'Ottawa dans la LCF. Les couleurs de Russ Jackson et de Tony Gabriel. To all who have worn the red and black. À tous ceux qui ont porté le rouge et noir, who have battled on the gridiron on behalf of our great city, et qui se sont battus sur le terrain au nom de notre belle ville. We honor your tradition. Nous préservons votre tradition as we begin to forge our own. Et nous commençons à forger la nôtre. Like the blades that cut timber in the upper Ottawa Valley and the men who rode them down the Ottawa River past the locks of Bytown. We are balanced, dangerous, unstoppable. Nous sommes les Rouges et Noirs d'Ottawa. We are the Ottawa Red Blacks.
All I can say to that is,
I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white Leaside like snob. I like porno and Proline and books about porn. I got an average house with nice hardwood floors. My wife, my job, my kids and my car. My feet
Mike
on
Richard,
my table
TSD.
And a Cuban cigar.
Mike Richards, a TSN.
But sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested. No way. Now I gotta wear double blue and hit the subway downtown. Yeah. I need football big on a really big field. No silicone cheerleaders. I want my chicks real. I'm an Argo. I fly to BC and hide all their weed. I go to Regina and say, how about that wheat? I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo. I park at Commonwealth and take Edmonton spaces while Edmonton people make Edmonton faces. I'm an Argo.
I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
Maybe I shouldn't be singing this song, ranting and raving and carrying on. Maybe they're right when they say that I'm wrong.
Nah, I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
I'm going to do. I'm going to get myself one of those Condridge Holloway Mets jerseys circa 1982 with the midriff showing, just like those skanky Queen Street Lady Gaga wannabes, and walk right into Harbor 60, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to talk about the Argos on the radio anytime I want, because unlike that 60-year-old from The Fan who wears sunglasses on TV, I actually go to the games. Okay. They can take their 20 years of boring people with their Dungeons & Dragons staff and have a great big 20-year-old cakewalk right in the middle of Young Street, and it will make a lick of difference. You know why? Because we got the bombs. Yeah! We got Schultz, Dunnigan, frickin' Naylor, and frickin' Randorf. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get Bill Simons, okay. Joe Kroll, Terry Greer, and frickin' Don Mohn, and a giant case of Crown Royal, and we're gonna go right down!
Hey, you know what, pal? You really are an Argo.
Just shut up and sing the song, pal. I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo! I'm an Argo, and I'm proud of it.
Argo. That's what he is. He's an Argo. Okay. That's it for tonight, ghosts. We ain't no gonna go close a clip. We go right out. We go right out. Right out. We're going to leave the show right now. We are gone. We are history. We are done. Thank you. 3, 2, 1.